Amen. And now we have a prayer of illumination when it comes to reading and the teaching of God's word. So let us pray. Our Lord, you have heard our prayers throughout this night. You have heard our praises. You have heard our singing, Lord. You have accepted our gifts unto you. But Lord, this night would not be complete if we did not have a word that comes from you, Lord. We pray, O Lord, that as we read this word, that we would have hearts that would gleam from the words, O Lord, that these words would penetrate our hearts as if we are seeing these things from the very first time. We pray, O Lord, that we would make good application of the words that's being taught to us, O Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that as this word is being delivered unto the saints tonight, that many will leave here encouraged and strengthened as we were encouraged and strengthened this morning. Be with me, your vessel, O Lord. Be with all of us as we diligently listen and meekly listen to your word. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Please rise as we hear God's word. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Just for a little bit of context, I'm going to go into the previous chapter, starting in verse 17, because this is Paul's continued defense of his ministry as he was faced with much opposition during these days. Here is the word of the Lord. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. And here's the sermon text for tonight. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. But when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. Amen. That is a reading of God's word. Please be seated. As we saw last week, that this is basically Apostle Paul's defense of his ministry, as there are many that are in the church of Thessalonica that are going against Apostle Paul and the ministry that he is bestowing upon the Thessalonians. Basically, they thought that he was a coward because he was not able to come see them. But Apostle Paul defended in his ministry how he longed to come see them, how he was orphaned. He felt like he was orphaned away from them. He felt alone. He felt abandoned. And then even in this passage right here, it continues on the burden, the heart that he has for the people that has been put under his care. And in the midst of all this argument that Apostle Paul is doing, this defending of his ministry, this defending of his integrity, he is showing just exactly how a shepherd should be. Now, normally we go to the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, to understand the characteristics of an elder. But as you look in this passage in 1 Thessalonians, you see what it's like to put these things into practice as an elder, and especially as the sheep are facing opposition. So that's exactly what we see here. He is defending his ministry. And basically, we know that the church will face opposition as it continues forward until the end of time, until the Lord Jesus Christ cracks the sky and takes his sheep along with him. We will have opposition. Now, my job has been made easy a little bit because of this morning's sermon. It's basically the same concept that God's people do face opposition, and we are to live for Christ. And we ought to know that even to die in Christ is to have gain. But as we live, we will have opposition. And so by God's providence, he is taking care of his sheep today and helping us understand just exactly what a shepherd should be and how he should have concern for the sheep, especially in the midst of opposition. And so that's the teaching today. Christ's shepherd has a deep concern for the flock as they face opposition. Although God decrees opposition, the faithful shepherd will seek to encourage and strengthen the faith of all God's people. That is the responsibility for every shepherd. And the Apostle Paul is one to be imitated when it comes to that. And shepherds ought to be imitated as well, as we looked in this passage, well, in this book. So we will see this in 2 points, well, actually 3 points. Christ's shepherd has a deep concern for the flock as they face opposition. That's in verse 1. And then point number 2, Christ's shepherd remembers opposition is decreed by God. And we see that in verses 3 to 4. But also, the third point, Christ's shepherd will encourage and strengthen the faith of God's people as they face opposition. That's verses 2 and verse 5. A little bit out of order, but it helps us to understand and put these things in a logical format. And plus, this is a letter, not a sermon. So that's how we're going to approach this. So point number 1, Christ's shepherd has a deep concern for the flock as they face opposition. First, we need to see Christ's shepherd has a deep concern in general. In general, Christ's shepherd is to love Christ's sheep. They ought to have concern for everything, not just for their physical benefits, but also their spiritual well-being. Christ's shepherd is to always have that concern. As you read Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 6, the Lord sends a warning to those shepherds, basically an indictment for not just caring for the sheep, just in general. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus said the Lord God, all shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought them back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." This was a very sad time for God's people. And one of the main reasons why it was sad, because there were shepherds that did not care for the sheep just in general, as they are called to shepherd God's flock. Now, we know that Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, shepherds the flock. But he also sends under shepherds to encourage, to exhort them, to give them, to make them walk into the manner of which they were called. And that is why they should have a deep concern just in general. And this is why the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said to the Ephesian elders in chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul says, pay careful attention. Again, that's concern, having concern. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, as bishops, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And that is the main reason. As I look at the faces of God's flock, I have to remind myself, and elders, and all shepherds have to remind themselves, that these are people that Christ bled for. These are the people that Christ died for. And that is the reason why we should have a deep concern just in general. But the concern needs to be even more so as we face opposition again. The morning worship service, and as I heard Elder Andy Edwards pray this morning, it seemed like the Sunday school has something to deal with opposition when it comes to, the flesh, the world, the devil. Again, this is something that we need to understand, that shepherds have to have a deep concern for the flock as they face opposition. And again, go to Ezekiel chapter 34, 7 through 9. It says, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Apostle Paul knew exactly what this scripture meant. And that is why he is causing action. This is why he says, I could not forbear. Therefore, when it says in verse 1, therefore, we could bear it no longer. Think about that. This is the Apostle Paul who says, I can bear all things. We heard it this morning, to live as Christ and to die as gain. But when he heard about the opposition that this church was going through, again, they were new Christians, he said, I could bear it no longer. And I had to do something. I had to cause action, to make action. And this is the Apostle Paul, one of the most boldest apostles, if not the boldest apostle. They received the word in much affliction, as we read, as we went over in the first chapter. You can read that in the first chapter, verse 6. They received the word with joy and with much affliction. And that affliction came from false believers, the Jews that were in that day, as we look on how the church was founded, which is in Acts 17, if you want to read how the church was founded. They were already, as they began as a new church, had opposition. They had opposition. And Paul just could not stand it any longer. And therefore, he had to send Timothy. And we're going to get into why Timothy is such an important figure. But Paul says that they were willing to be left behind in Athens. Paul was willing to sacrifice his own comfort that Timothy gave to him, as we will read how Timothy was a blessing for the Apostle Paul. He was willing to be left behind. He was willing to be alone, to feel deserted. Again, this is the same language when he says, I was orphaned among you. This is what he's talking about. He felt alone. And all this is the example of a selflessness of a shepherd. He was selfless. And therefore, he got rid of his comforts and he made action and he sent Timothy. So that's the first point. Christ's shepherd has a deep concern for the flock as they face opposition. And so by application, selfless love. Again, we're going to eventually have new officers in this church. One thing that we are to notice is those who are selfless. Selfless love is how we recognize the leaders among us. They don't quit in the face of opposition. A person that quits as soon as opposition comes is a hireling. And there are so many that are in many churches, hirelings, that quit in the midst of the opposition that the people are experiencing. Shepherds don't do that. Shepherds are selfless. They don't look after their own gain. They love the sheep, and they are willing to stay there through the fight, through the fight. If they don't, look at what we read in Ezekiel 34. The Lord has an indictment against them. And that's a very serious thing. And many will have to call into account of why did they leave the sheep as they were being slaughtered. And this is very much we need to understand, especially in our day, because as we are going through opposition now, we will go even through more opposition in the future if the Lord wills that. And so we need to understand that we are to live selfless and we are to be concerned about others. And we are to look at the shepherds who are selfless and concerned about the flock. But you also are to be aware not only of your welfare only, but the welfare of others. You ought to be concerned about others. And if you are not doing that, then you are not walking in God's will. We ought to be understanding this, especially as we are going through opposition. So that's the first point. Christ's shepherd has a deep concern for the flock as they face opposition. And that's verse 1. Now we're going to go to verses 3 to 4. Point 2 is Christ's shepherd remembers opposition is decreed by God. What does the Apostle Paul says? He says that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined. We are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand. This was a teaching of the Apostle Paul as he was with this church in Thessalonica. He loved them so much, and he realized that God's people will always have opposition. And so he made it an effort to teach them that they will come under opposition. He says, for when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction just as it has come to pass and just as you know. Opposition in the Christian life needs to be remembered. Why does it need to be remembered? Because many people fall away during times of opposition. Fears start to rise. Compromises. And many churches fall. And especially a young church like this with young converts. They need to understand that this life is filled with opposition. And that is how we ought to give the gospel as well. We ought to understand that we can't just offer the gospel and say the Lord Jesus Christ dies for you and everything's going to be all right in your life. You're going to have your best life now, as it was said this morning. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We ought to prepare people for the opposition that we're going to face. There are many things that we did not face until we called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our families didn't like it. Some of our co-workers didn't like it. And even now, as you choose righteousness, as you choose Christ, every single day, you face opposition. You face opposition. And so it's important to remember this because fears and doubts come with affliction. And this is the reason why Paul sends Timothy to help them. It's so they won't be moved. That word moved in this passage is used only once in the Greek New Testament. is used only once, and the word means to be shaken, not stable, in emotions, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. That's how worried the Apostle Paul was for his sheep. And that's why it needs to be remembered that afflictions do come. Now, the particular afflictions are not stated explicitly, but as we started this series and this letter to the Thessalonians, Thessalonica was a very prosperous city, very pagan city. And even as you read, as the church was founded again in Acts 17, there was opposition that they had amongst with the Jews that were living in that province. And so maybe they were socially harassed, they were ostracized, but also they may have been physically afflicted from the Jews. But Paul knows that he had to deal with this himself. And that's why he says in this passage, we experience this. It's a we. It's not just the church of Thessalonica, but also the Apostle Paul who's experiencing these afflictions. We also see in verse 3 that God decrees opposition. He says this is destined for us. Destined. We are destined for this. This is the same language that even our Lord Jesus Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. The Lord says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Our Lord Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, Jesus knew this. He's our Lord, and he knew exactly why God's people experienced this. It started even in the garden. God's people always face opposition. And even in the seeds of Adam and Eve, Cain killed Abel. Again, opposition in the midst of God's people. Mark 8:34, verses 34 and 35, he says, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That's exactly why it's decreed. The Lord Jesus knows this. Apostle Paul knows this. And even this church, this young church at Thessalonica, knows this. Paul's commission from the Lord testifies to this truth. As the Apostle Paul was called, knocked on his high horse, literally. He was literally knocked off his high horse. And Jesus came to him in Acts chapter 9 and told him, you will suffer for my sake. You shall be an apostle to the Gentiles, but you will suffer. And again, nothing is new. But we also see that the shepherd is to teach the sheep. Verse 4, a faithful minister tells his people not just about the crown, but about the cross that we must all carry. About the cross that we must all carry. His ministry is designed to strengthen the saints. That is the ministry of every single shepherd, is to strengthen the saints. Whether that be in private worship as you read your Bible, as you pray along with your family, all these things the minister is to focus on, to strengthen you up, to encourage you in these duties. Strengthen you in meditation, public worship, counseling, visitations. All these things are designed for you to be strengthened and encouraged in the faith, especially as we battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil. They are not designed, again, as you heard this morning, for programs. They're not designed to have things that satisfy and to keep you complacent and not ready for the war that is upon us, even now, as we are going through much opposition, we are not to be complacent. We are to understand that we are to be focused and alert and be ready to give a defense for the faith that we have. That's the whole ministry. That was Paul's ministry. That's what he was doing with these young Christians in Thessalonica. And that is what shepherds are to do even today. Again, strengthen the ministry of the saints. If the shepherd does not emphasize this, he is not being that watchman. And therefore, he is under that same indictment that's in Ezekiel 34. That same indictment. Paul kept telling the Thessalonians so they can be ready beforehand. Again, we don't know what the future may hold, but we do know that we always got a battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil. And so by application on this second point, this refutes all type of health, wealth, prosperity gospel. Paul said that we are destined for this. This church was destined for this. Himself was destined for this. We, as all Christians, are destined for this. We are going to face all types of opposition, social, political, what you name it. Everywhere we go, we will face opposition, and we must be ready. And so this health, wealth, prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all, you are to run from it like it's a plague. You turn it off, and you do not touch the unclean things. It is unclean, and it is false teaching. No matter what network shows on it, you know the acronym, and I choose to call it the Blasphemous Network, because there's so much false teaching on it, so much that hurts many sheep, and it's not the true gospel, the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. And so even now, you are not to accept a shepherd who is not faithful in preparing you for this. God's people, yes, we are a family, and we love one another. And yes, that is very, very, very important. But we also are soldiers for Christ. We are battle soldiers. And this is a war. It's a war between two kingdoms, kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. And we must be ready. We must be ready. And so we must be preparing you for this. And so pray for your elders, pray for all your ministers, because it's a temptation to compromise during these days. It's a temptation to satisfy the flesh, to keep people complacent. But we are not to do that. And so we need your strength. We need your prayers. But if you yourself do not consider yourself facing opposition and everything's good in your life, this is very contrary to Scripture. Very contrary to Scripture. And you must ask yourself, is there really anything that Satan is to oppose by you? If you are living a worldly life, if you are seeking the comforts of this life, then really there's no opposition. Satan does not oppose that. He does not oppose that. We are to be ready. And so don't flatter yourself with that. You are to be understanding just exactly where the battle is and where the battle lies. And this final point, this last point, Christ's shepherd will encourage and strengthen the faith of God's people as they face opposition. This is verses 2 and 5. Paul does work. He does not leave them behind. He understands, and he's very, very anxious about this church. And so what does he do? He sends Timothy. He sends Timothy. Verse 2. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. And then verse 5. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter, that is the devil, yeah, the tempter had tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. The ministry is God's ordinance the way he ordinarily works. And that is why Apostle Paul sent Timothy to exhort them, to encourage them. They needed someone who is a leader, who's a minister. And he sends Timothy to go to them to learn about what? To learn about what? Not that they are they still having opposition? No. To learn if they are healthy? No. To learn if they got money in their accounts? No. What is Paul's main concern? His main concern is about their faith. Yes, he knows that they are going through much opposition, but his main concern is, are they still believing? That's the love that he has for the sheep, and that's the love that he has for the gospel. He is concerned about their faith, not their well-being. And so who does he send? He sends Timothy. Now, there are so many people who say that Timothy was timid and that he was basically a scared and fearful young man. Let's look at what the scriptures say. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 25. Who is this young man, Timothy? Apostle Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. For I have no one like him. Apostle Paul was around many people. He says, Timothy, I have no one like him. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Timothy had a concern for the sheep. For they all seek their own interests. That's not Timothy. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served me with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. If Timothy was a very timid, fearful young man, Apostle Paul would not say this. Look at what he says in this passage. He says that our brother, which is a sign of intimacy, he's a brother. And then he says, God's co-worker. That is a very bold statement to talk about Timothy, that he is God's co-worker. If he was timid, he would not say that about Timothy. It's a bold claim. And many modern translations actually choose to weaken Paul's language here because it's so bold as he speaks about Timothy. But Timothy was not a mailman. He was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul was represented whenever Timothy came to minister these young Christians. Timothy was young, but yes, he was very knowledgeable, and he had a concern for the flock. And that's why Apostle Paul loved him. He said there was no one like him. Apostle Paul could have said that he's a young man and he doesn't know much. He could have said that this is a young man, he has a lot to learn. But he does not say that. And many people, even in our day, criticize young Christians who are actually maybe serving the Lord and praying for the flock and loving the flock even more so. Apostle Paul did not damper the things that the Lord was doing through Timothy. He loved Timothy and he saw him as a brother. And so that was the importance. That's who Timothy was. And that's why the Apostle Paul sent him. The saints need to have their faith encouraged and strengthened, and that is exactly what Timothy did. He was sent to establish and exhort the Thessalonians, that is to encourage. The Spirit of God makes all things, the means of grace, helps for God's people to encourage them, to strengthen them, to establish their hearts in holiness and comfort, especially preaching. And Timothy was a preacher. He was an encourager. He was an evangelist. He really loved the flock. And that's why Timothy is there. But the Apostle Paul did this because he was scared that their faith may be destroyed, these young Christians, especially as they were facing much and much opposition. But who was behind this opposition? Again, as we have looked in the past passages, it was Satan. It was all types of demonic activity. Satan is the tempter. The devil was still at work in Thessalonica. He wanted to crush the faith of these young saints. And Paul did not want these young saints to get derailed. And that's why he mentions the devil. And that's what the devil does. He seeks to devour. And he seeks to have conflict with God's people. Again, Apostle Paul knows God's sovereignty here. He knows that these are people who are elect. He knows that people who are elect will never fall away from the faith. He knows this. He's written Romans, but nevertheless, he sends Timothy and he is still concerned. Why? Because he does not know who is elect. We never know who is elect. All we do is we seek the means of grace. And all those who hear the encouragements, all those who hear and understand all the threatenings that we read in Scripture, the elect hear that and they turn from their sin and they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who are not elect, who may even still be in the church, they don't listen. They still leave there and they have carnal security. So the Apostle Paul said was afraid that his labor might be in vain, which echoes Isaiah 49:4 and Isaiah 65:23. Apostle Paul saw his ministry as coinciding, as parallel with the prophets of the Old Testament. That his work would be in vain. And Isaiah, the Lord told Isaiah, he's looking forward to a day when the saints, the servants of God, especially those shepherds, when their work would not be in vain. And that's what Paul's fear was. And so by doing that, he acts. He seeks to encourage. He seeks to strengthen the faith of all of God's people. And so by application, we are not to use God's sovereignty as a reason to not seek encouragement and strength as we face opposition. We need to understand that the devil is active. Paul knew that. And he understood God's sovereignty. And we must feed on the word daily. Again, chapter 1, verse 6. They received the word with affliction. As they were being afflicted, they received the word and they rejoiced. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to receive the word, to rejoice in it, and to seek all means of grace as we go through opposition. But what is your concern for others as well? Again, Apostle Paul's concern was their faith. Were they still believing? Were they still trusting? Were they still resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or did they fall away as they were faced by these oppositions? Our primary concern should be the same. Again, we are to take care of one another. But our primary concern is the faith of each and every one of us, that we are all being encouraged and that we are all persevering through the trials that we are going through. Now, as we finish these 3 points, we ought to understand that, yes, we are going to go through opposition, but we do have an encouragement from the Lord. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. As we go through many types of opposition, we should remember this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We are more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Apostle Paul is about to hear some good news that comes from Timothy. And that good news is that the Lord keeps his people. He keeps his remnant. He loves his people. And nothing can separate his people from that love. And that's what we ought to take home with us. As we go through opposition, we ought to look for shepherds, continue to look to shepherds who love the sheep, pay attention to all the opposition that is around us, stay faithful, but also know that we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because we are his sheep, and he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. But if you are not loving the Lord Jesus Christ, if you never submitted to him, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to do it, especially on this Lord's Day. Today is the day of salvation. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will make his way known, make his way to you. He will make himself known to the Lord. And he
and you
will make his way
be
more than
make,
a conqueror.
Make his way
as you face the
opposition
upon the Lord
that comes from the flesh
and, he,
and
the
you,
world and the devil. That's God's. That's for God's people. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this passage and this reminder of what shepherds should be like, O Lord, but also who you are, O Lord, as you take care of your sheep and you guard your sheep. You are our shepherd, and we are so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ has died on a cross for us and raised for our justification and continues to intercede in pouring out gifts and more gifts upon his church. May we see more and more people, Lord, submitting themselves to you and honoring you, especially as we face much and much opposition. Keep us close to you. Preserve us, guard us, and may you never, Lord, leave us as you have promised. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And now we have a hymn of response. It's hymn number 599, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. It's on page 7 in the bulletin.